Good morning, this is Arizona Board of Executive Cummins City. Do you have someone for us this morning?
Yes, I have one, Mr. Ross is here.
Okay, and he's the only one you have, am I correct?
Correct.
Okay. Okay, we'll be ready for him as soon as you pass the phone on to him, sir.
All right.
Thank you so very much.
Hello.
Good morning, you're here for your hearing, and the Honorable Ms. Rittenhouse will be conducting your hearing. She will be leading your hearing, so just hang on. The next voice you will hear will be the Honorable Ms. Rittenhouse.
Okay, thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir.
Good morning, Mr. Rosas?
Yes, ma'am.
Could you please state your full name and your ABC number for the record?
Okay, my name is Robert Calderon Rosas. ABC is 11-87-41.
Okay, thank you, sir. You're appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency for a revocation hearing. And this is concerning the three allegations that are on your warrant.
Right.
You were notified on June 14th. You signed a paper that day to inform you that hearing would be today. Do you remember that?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, on that paper is a list of your hearing rights. And one of your rights is that you could hire an attorney at your expense, or you can represent yourself. Did you hire an attorney, or will you represent yourself today?
I'm representing myself, ma'am.
Okay, and that's fine. The attorney's optional, but it's your right.
Okay.
I'd like to introduce you to the board conducting hearing today.
Okay.
If you look to your right, so down at that end of the bench, is on the very end is the Honorable Louis Quinones. Right next to him is the Honorable David Neal. Next to me here in the center is our board chairman, the Honorable Dr. C.T. Wright. And on the other side of me over here is the Honorable Michael Johnson. My name is Gail Rittenhouse, and as Dr. Wright said, I'll lead your hearing today.
Okay.
So we also have with us in the room Mr. Westby, who is a community corrections officer with the Department of Corrections. So he'll represent the department and your hearing officer in the hearing today. So I need to swear to both of you in. So Mr. Rosas and Mr. Westby, do you solemnly swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help you God, and do you so affirm? Mr. Rosas?
I do.
Okay.
I do, ma'am.
Thank you both. So, Mr. Rosas, your hearing will be conducted in two phases. With phase one, to determine if you violated your conditions of supervision, and then phase two, to determine if your supervision should be reinstated or revoked. So for phase one, what I'll do is I'll read each of these allegations to you, and then I need you to tell me if they're true or false. Okay, sir? So we'll start phase one, and the first allegation is that you were in violation of condition number 5, as demonstrated by your engagement in physically assaultive behavior on or about March 21st, 2018, in Pima County, Arizona. Mr. Rosas, is this true or false?
It's true.
That's true? Okay. The second, then you'll get a chance to explain. That'll come in phase two. The second allegation is a violation of condition number 5, as demonstrated in your, this is exactly the same as, I believe.
It is.
Does it not read exactly the same?
It does. It's two separate things.
Yeah, that's exactly the same thing.
Okay, and so you've seen that on the warrant then. All right. So
does that count as a second violation?
It is written up that way, although
it's two separate things.
It's two different. Oh, that's why it's two different individuals. Mm-hmm. So we'll proceed that way. So here's the second allegation: violation of condition number 5 is demonstrated by your engagement in physically assaultive behavior on or about March 21st, 2018, in Pima County, Arizona. So, Mr. Rosas, is that true or false?
That's true.
That's true. Okay. And then the third allegation is violation of condition number 2, as demonstrated by your failure to follow the directives of your assigned parole officer by failing to report in for a face-to-face contact visit on or about April 5th, 2018, as directed on March 15th, 2018. At that point, you were actively avoiding supervision. Mr. Rosas, is this true or false?
That is true.
That's true as well. Okay, sir.
Yes.
But based on Mr. Rosas' admission, I move to find him delinquent as he did violate the terms and conditions of supervision and may have lapsed or had lapsed in the criminal rights of company.
Second. Mm-hmm. Agreed.
Okay. Agreed. Seconded by, motion by myself, seconded Mr. Johnson, agreed Dr. Wright, Mr. Neal, Mr. Quinones. Okay, so Mr. Rosas, we'll just pass to phase two of your hearing, and this is where you'll have a little more opportunity to, as I said, explain what happened. And but before we go too far into that, I'm going to ask Mr. Gusby to give us some background information, so just hold on. We'll be right back to talk with you in a minute. Mr. Westby.
On November 21st, 2017, Mr. Rosas was released from the Arizona Department of Corrections. He was arrested May 19th, 2018 by Arizona DPS on new charge. Excuse me, I'm looking at these notes here. Looks like a warrant for failure to appear for assault. He was back in DOC custody May 23rd, 2018, with an adjusted community supervision end date of September 28th, 2018, 37 Obscene days. Current conviction, 2014, aggravated assault, 5.5 years. Prior convictions, 1996, aggravated assault, 3.5 years. 1996, aggravated assault, 3.5 years. 2001, unlawful use of means of transportation, 2 years. 2010, narcotic drug violation, 1.5 years. This is his fifth term in DOC. CUIR score, 4.4. Mental health score, 1. Substance abuse score, 1. STG gang information notes, he's an admitted member of the Southside Chicano Criminal Street Gang. Prior term of supervision, 1999. TIS release completion, 6 months. 2002, TIS release of absconder, 16 days, arrested on new charge or failure to register as a sex offender, revoked by the BOEC. 2011, TIS release completion, 2 months. This is clear violations of moderate with extortion and violence noted. Other arrest, 1986, aggravated robbery, Arizona, juvenile detention. All other arrests that he had resulted in charges being dismissed. His community risk score is a G1V4. I do have status of charges. I received an email from Officer Gomez dated June 18th, 2018 that states regarding his charge for the assault committed on 3/21/18. It says failure to appear warrant issued on June 13th, 2018, so charges are pending.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Westby. Okay, back to you, Mr. Rosas. We have just a brief written summary of your supervision. It looks like you were living at 434 West Canada Street in Tucson?
Yes, yes.
Okay, and who lives there?
Me and my mother.
Oh, that's your mother's house, okay. This doesn't tell us who else is there. Were you working, sir, while you were out?
Yes, I was working at Precision Metal.
Precision Metal, are you a machinist or?
No, I'm a powder coater.
Oh,
a powder coater motorcycle frame.
Sure, okay. And it looks like you were also going to task. And you had some negatives here. It looks like in December of 2017 you had a negative. In January and March you had negatives. But you also had a couple of positives here. One positive. What happened there?
That was actually not a negative. I actually went in front of my parole officer trying to get help, and I confessed to her saying that I had used drugs and I had wanted to enter some type of rehab that she could appoint me to. I came forward and gave her that information. If you could, it says W, but if you see it, it says self-admitted. I'm the one that came forward. I came up clean. And I came and told her because I was trying to seek help.
Okay.
I was trying to get help for that drug problem before it got any worse. And I didn't get the help that I needed. Instead, I got increased UAs, which I didn't come up dirty again, but that's what happened there.
Okay.
I confessed to that.
Have you had other treatment before, drug treatment?
Yeah, nothing besides just self-help classes and stuff there, but I've never had no professional help out there.
So you mean stuff like AA or NA you've done?
Yeah, I've had that kind of stuff. Oh, okay. I've never had like something that really, that's really...
Okay, so Yeah, but AA and NA can really be very effective. A lot of people are very successful with those. Let's see, what else was I going to ask you?
If I could also say one more thing here.
Please.
If he mentions something about and respectfully not registering, I'm not a registered sex offender. That was the state. If you could look, you could see it for yourself. If I'm not, you can call me whatever. I'm not a registered sex offender. It was a mistake on the court's problem that they did that mistake, so they dismissed that charge of that stuff. Because I'm a registered, I'm not a registered sex offender.
Okay.
That was dismissed.
All right, Mr. Rojas, well, I'm going to go back to Mr. Westby. He's checking on that.
Yes, when I was running that previous arrest, because I just know the arrest that resulted in dispositions of basically probation or DOC time or detention, he was he had several arrests in 1990 for sexual abuse that were dismissed, and a sexual assault in 1995 that was dismissed, and in 2002, failure to register as a sex offender, which was dismissed. So when he absconded in 2002 for those 16 days, he was arrested on the charge of failure to register as a sex offender. However, that charge was dismissed, but that was the nature of
it. Okay.
He had contact with the police when he was in the
gotcha. Okay, that explains that then. So you're not.
No, I've never been convicted of a sex offense.
All right, well, thank you for clearing that up. So now,
one more thing here. Mm-hmm. I come here before you to give you my side of the, I understand what I did wrong. I mean, shit, man. Excuse my language. I understand what I did wrong. When I first got out there on parole, I had got a job, and I was doing the things I needed to do. And when I came forward with that dirty way, before any abscondment or anything started, I came forward and asking for help, man. And instead of giving me, I said, my appeals team was not there. I said, look, man, this is, I want help because I'm going to be 50 years old, man. I said, I've been doing this shit, and I don't want to die like this. I don't want to die, and you can just hold the tongue. I want help so I could be a better person and I could do some things with my rest of my life. I don't want to die a piece of crap. And instead, they just increased my visits to 2 times a month and gave me money ways and shut me back in the street, man. And that's not what I was looking for. I want a professional house or somewhere where I could, instead of anonymous narcotics or alcohol, that stuff, I mean, it helps to keep it sober, but I wanted a program where I could to actually do something in my life, to actually help me to make that big change, man. And I did need the help. I did need it. You want to teach it, it's really, well, you could change it if you want to change, but I needed professional help, man.
So, Mr. Rosas, did you continue to use drugs then after that? Because it looks like you had a negative in March.
No, I didn't, because I was fighting it, but it was only a matter of time before I could have went back to it. It was only a matter of time.
Well, it sounds like you've had some success at least, and it sounds like you have a lot of conviction. I hear a lot of conviction in your voice about not wanting to use drugs. So what were you doing during the 30 days or 37 days that you had absconded? What were you doing?
Can I tell you where I was? I never left my house. My mom, even just me and my mom, even though it says my mom says that she had things about me doing drugs. She was helping me out, but I never left that house. I got arrested for jaywalking across the street, and that's where my mom came out for absconding. But I never left my house. I left when my girl, Martha, went to the house. I said, well, she's going to come back. Okay, so I left, and I came back later that night, and I lived there ever since.
Right.
Nobody came looking for me, nothing.
But you were going to work, but why did you not contact your parole officer then?
I was falling off the deep end. You know, even though the drug habit wasn't in full force yet, I was lost, man. I had no direction. I had no direction. I was just me and my mom. I was drinking. I was thinking on that, and I already know what that was going to mean. Just sooner or later, I'm going to go back, going back to Durden, that first step, when we confessing that Durden, I said, man, I'm going to, I just felt like a piece of crap, man. And I gave up. I gave up. That's all it was. I gave up, but I never left that house.
Well, I believe you, sir. I believe you, sir, but part of your responsibility is to stay in touch with your parole officer. And if you didn't, you didn't give your parole officer a chance to help you.
Yeah.
So, that's part of the problem. And you haven't absconded before, I see, on term of community supervision. So you did know that it was important to stay in touch with your parole officer.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes. And I do believe you, when you were living there, and you were probably going to work, and I get that. I mean, I believe you with that, but you do need to stay in touch with the parole officer. Mr. Westby has something else to add, too.
Yes, this information wasn't in the warrant, but I was reading it from the notes regarding the staffing with Senior Foster Settles and P.O. Mata, which is on March 15th, and Mr. Rose's did self-admit to using methamphetamines, and this was also a follow-up to his positive UA that he had on February 27th, 2018 from TASC that was positive for amphetamines. And it states here that he did have the increased the UAs from TASC, and it says here we'll be attending our patient program at La Frontera, and then he got a new color, and then he acknowledged and there were no other issues. And then on following visit here, it looks like it wasn't following visit here. I'm just seeing out here that where they're talking about a patient program at La Frontera, which it doesn't specifically state if it's substance abuse, but I'm not seeing that he has any mental health issues. So generally, La Frontera is for mental health or substance abuse issues here. And then on the following entry that I see here, this was on April 12th, and for P.O. Mata, and it said, call the offender's sponsor regarding the offender missing his report date. Josie, the offender's mother, told me that after he left the house on April 10th, 2018, he left and has not returned. So as far as him leaving the residence, that is notated on here that that was information provided to P.O. Mata that after the field visit at the residence that he had left and had not returned. So that's the basis of the
I see. And Mr. Westby, what date was it again that he left the house and didn't return?
April 12th. Yes. Because it looks like a field visit was conducted on April 10th. It's also conducted a field visit to the offender's residence at 434 West Canada Street. Spoke with the offender's mother, Josie. She was saying because she wants her son at home. Officer spoke to the offender regarding missing his report date, stating he was at work and didn't have a ride. And in the report letter directed, from the reporter at 412.18 or later than 10 a.m., he failed to report. So therefore, that's when she called the mother on April 12th and was informed that he had left the residence.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Westby. So, Mr. Rosas, it appears that you were not living at 434 West Canada.
I was living there. It's just my mom was protecting me. My mom was protecting me. I mean, she's going to say anything. She didn't ever want to see me come back. She was just protecting me. I was actually there. She said, Martha called and said they put a warrant out for your arrest. She said, man, you should turn yourself in. And this, and I said, I'm not going back to prison no more. I don't want to go back to prison no more. You know, that I really had fell off the deep end right there. But I never left. My mom was protecting me. I mean, I'm putting my mom right here in front of you right here. But she's just being a mother, but she was telling me I should turn myself in.
All right, so then my other question to you based on what Mr. Westby just told us is that you have been assigned to La Frontera, which is a substance abuse place, which is exactly what you asked
for. But it's outpatient. It was outpatient. I was just going to go. What she had assigned me for was a month program, which was 30 days.
Mr. Rosa, did you give it a chance? Did you give it a chance?
No.
Did you go?
No.
Then, Mr. Rosas, you're asking for treatment, and you were assigned to treatment, and you didn't give it a chance.
Yeah. I wanted something where I could have went in and stayed there and got professional. Not something where I check in for 30 minutes and tell them what they want to hear and then come out. I wanted someone to say, actually be able to do something to help me with my life, my direction.
Mr. Rosas.
I'm being straight up and honest.
Mr. Rosas, outpatient treatment is that. It is conducted by professionals. It's the same.
Right.
It's the same.
Yeah.
Okay, sir. I'm going to see if my fellow board members have a question. Mr. Johnson has a question for you.
Oh, sure, Mr. Johnson.
And I know you're doing a lot of talking about getting into a rehab program, and it does say that you did something into a PO, and it appears that the PO didn't do anything that they couldn't work with you, because you weren't violated on the drugs, so you were violated on the engagement and assaulted behavior and obstacling. So I believe you never wanted to get into a drug program, but the PO didn't violate you for that. It was other things you did that caused your violation.
Right. That's very true, but I believe that where it all starts is with the drug, because if that drugs was all of them wasn't in my life, I wouldn't have went to them, Scott, and I would have been in a better state of mind to make the right decision to stay going going to go see my PO. I would have made better decisions. I wouldn't have gone off county and it would have been clear what I needed to do.
So when you engage in assaulted behavior, you're saying that you were on drugs at that time?
I wasn't on drugs, I was on alcohol, but I needed help. And
all right, thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Okay, any other questions from board members? Okay, Mr. Rosas, we're coming toward the end of your hearing, but I want to give you the opportunity, since it's your hearing, to make a final statement. Is there anything else that you haven't told us already that you think the board should know?
No, just that I am ashamed, and it ain't just work, I am ashamed that I'm not making excuses. I'm guilty of those things, and I want to do the things, but I think that I need some direction. I think I needed the role to be more personal than just being maybe all these guys need to do this program. I think people need as being always need to be treated as individuals. This guy has a problem with alcohol. This guy has a problem with anger, and I think that's what was my downfall, man, because, you know, I was just like another inmate or another number there, which put in a category and wasn't given as an individual that counseling or direction, but I am guilty of it, man, but my heart was in the right place, and this is the outcome that happened.
Okay,
I
apologize. Thank you.
Yeah.
And so, Mr. Rosas, I'm really going to discussion. We do all of our discussion in public under the open meeting law. So we haven't talked about your case before right now. So all we ask is you just remain on the phone, remain silent, and we'll be right back with you, sir.
Okay.
Okay. The board is now in discussion. Mr. Rosas is an individual who... I hear a certain amount of conviction in his voice about wanting drug treatment. He was offered drug treatment and chose not to partake. My opinion is he should have given that a chance because those outpatient programs are conducted by professionals and. He was individually assessed as needing that. The fact is he did only use the word aware of through UAs. He did only use that 30 months. And he was successfully, if we believe him, staying off of it. So that may be why he was assessed as outpatient. As Mr. Johnson pointed out, he wasn't violated on the drugs, he was violated on his other behavior. So other violent behavior and the fact, it seems that he's been in prison for aggravated assault. He has three different convictions for aggravated assault. They have continued with extortion and violence with his discipline within the prison. So I'm just not seeing him as a good candidate for return to community supervision, but I would listen to any input from full members. All right, then I'm going to make a motion based on information in warrant 2018W1236 in our conversation with Mr. Rosas and information provided by Mr. Westby. I move to revoke community supervision as Mr. Rosas was delinquent, violated the terms and conditions of supervision, and had lapsed or was about to lapse into criminal ways of company, specifically by absconding for 37 days, during which time his parole officer did not know what he was doing.
Second.
Agreed.
Okay, let me mark these. Motion by myself, seconded by Mr. Johnson, agreed by Dr. Wright, Mr. Neal. Okay, Mr. Rosas, back to you. We heard the board's discussion, and the board has voted to revoke your community supervision. However, we're showing you with a release date of September 28th. So,
okay.
We'll be out of that
point. I'd like to say thank you to all of you guys. Thank you.
Well, thank you, sir. And please do consider giving outpatient treatment a chance. I have seen it work.
Yes,
it does work.
Yes.
You're the one who has to decide. You make your mind up here, and you will be successful, sir. So,
yes,
thank you so much.
Thank you.
We wish you the best,
thank
sir.
You.
This concludes your hearing.
To see what the.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, could you put the CO3 back on?